Hello, everyone, and welcome to this audio conference training for rural grantees of the Office on Violence Against Women. Our topic today is Moving Beyond Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, and I'm Liz Carlson. I'm the host for our training today. I'm joined on the line by our speakers, Sarah Feuer, who is the Communications Director of the Family Violence Prevention Fund, and Annie Peltier, who is the Idaho Coalition of Sexual Assault and Domestic Abuse. Coalition for Sexual and Domestic Violence. So, hi, both of you, welcome.
Thank you, Liz.
Hi. So I'm thrilled to be joined by two such knowledgeable practitioners. They come to us with extensive experience in addressing teen dating violence, and I'm really looking forward to our session today. So glad you could be with us. Sarah and Annie, I'm anxious to be able to get to our PowerPoint and through our full agenda today. So all of the practitioners who are participating today have received your bios, and I wonder, would you mind just helping us to kind of get started with this call today and talking a little bit more about the work that the two of you have done?
Yeah, sure. This is Sarah, and thank you, Liz, and welcome, everybody. Both Annie and I are really excited to participate. I work on the That's Not Cool campaign at the Family Violence Prevention Fund. And as some of you might know, the Family Violence Prevention Fund is a national nonprofit that works to prevent and end domestic violence and sexual assault against women and children. And That's Not Cool is one of our key public education initiatives that we've been working on for a few years now. The Family Violence Prevention Fund also happens to be the national program office for the Start Strong, Building Healthy Teen Relationships initiative. Start Strong is funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the Blue Shield of California Foundation, and it's the largest initiative ever funded to target 11 to 14-year-olds to rally entire communities to prevent teen dating violence. And the Idaho Coalition Against Sexual and Domestic Violence, where Annie is from, is one of the communities that is part of the Start Strong initiative. That's Not Cool, our public education campaign, happens to be working with 8 of the 11 Start Strong sites, and the Idaho Coalition and Annie are one of our key partners, and so we really wanted to highlight their work on the campaign.
And this is Annie, and as Sarah mentioned, we have a program here called Start Strong Idaho. It's in Southwest Idaho. It targets 11 to 14-year-olds, and then I also work on another grant through the OVW Rural Program, and that funds our Center for Healthy Teen Relationships, and that's a statewide project. In both of those projects, we have extensively used the That's Not Cool campaign tools to do our work in the state. And so we have a very close working relationship, I do with Sarah and with some other people down there at the Family Violence Prevention Fund. And I guess with that, Liz, should we get going into the meat of our slides?
Yeah, let's do.
All right. So I just wanted to briefly go over why we're here today and why we needed to raise awareness about teen dating violence more than 1 month a year. As you probably most of you know, February is National Teen Dating Violence Awareness and Prevention Month. But we really need our communities to know about this issue more than 1 month a year, and really for a couple of reasons. First of all, the relationships that teens form early on are going to set the basis for the relationships for the rest of their life. But also, teen dating violence is a public health problem. It's intricately related to children participating in risk behaviors and having an increased risk for binge drinking, suicide attempts, physical fighting, and unhealthy sexual behaviors, along with other risk behaviors. So as you can tell from that list, relationships that teens have really affect all aspects of their lives, and kids just cannot learn and develop properly if they don't feel safe and healthy. So I'm going to go through the types of teen dating violence. I have a lot of slides on this, but I will try to move through those quickly because I believe most of the programs online know kind of this topic area. If you have questions, again, feel free to ask those later on, email Liz. But unhealthy or abusive relationship, an unhealthy or an abusive relationship is one in which both partners feel unsafe or unsupported, and that their ideas or values are not accepted, and there's a lack of communication or respect for each other. I provided a definition of dating abuse for you in the slides, but it really involves physical, sexual, verbal, or emotional abuse compounded by technical abuse or digital abuse, which we're going to spend lots of time talking about. It's by a person to harm or intimidate or control another person in a relationship, and it doesn't matter if that relationship is ongoing, has been brief, or is ended, but there is some type of intimate relationship involved. Verbal abuse is really used against someone. One type of abuse is verbal abuse, and it's really used against someone to lower their self-esteem or cause fear. Examples of that would be calling someone fat, stupid. And an example I've seen of this just recently was a boy on Facebook said, "Sometimes I can't believe how stupid my girlfriend is." So that type of thing that's supposed to make someone obviously feel bad about themselves for some reason. That can include making fun of someone's religion, race, or values. Another type of abuse is emotional or psychological abuse, and it's similar to verbal abuse, but it's really focused more on getting the victim to do something through the use of manipulation, coercion, that type of thing. So it could be through the use of cell phones or physically or digitally monitoring someone, using threats such as suicide or the threat to hurt others to control someone's behavior, or using guilt to control behavior, like saying things like, "If you really loved me, you would have sex with me," or "If you really loved me, you would go to that party with me," that type of thing. Sexual abuse can include any unwanted touching or kissing or not letting a partner use birth control. We see that a lot. Unfortunately, here we have a very high teen pregnancy rate, and that can be either partner, the male or the female, not letting the other one use birth control. It includes pressuring someone to send nude pics or forcing sex by threats, manipulations, or accusations. So blackmailing, saying if you must be cheating on me if you don't want to have sex with me, or if you really love me, you would have sex with me. And then finally, there's physical abuse. And physical abuse, just a reminder that it doesn't always leave marks. And I provide an example of hand-holding as something that could be physically abusive, but friends, parents, family members wouldn't necessarily see that there was physical abuse going on. But physical abuse still controls someone, and it is used to show that control. Finally, digital dating abuse really kind of exacerbates all those other types of abuse that can be used to digital technologies can be used to monitor through unwanted or repeated phone calls or text messages. I've provided you some statistics in the PowerPoints about this, but it can be used through breaking into social networking accounts and monitoring people's activity on those social networking accounts, including seeing any private communications or actually posting inappropriate comments from a victim's account. And then there can, of course, be the pressure to share embarrassing or private pictures and photos. And this is an area that the That's Not Cool campaign has really made just leaps and strides on. And I think Sarah is going to talk to you more about how you can address that in your community using That's Not Cool.
Thank you, Annie. Before I jump into the That's Not Cool campaign, I'm going to be talking about like the research and giving an overview, but does anyone have any questions right now? And if there are questions, you know, we'll give you a few seconds to send those in. You know, Annie, I think your point on highlighting that, you know, although we have categories for all this abuse, a lot of it is still hard to define, and your example of physical abuse not being just bruises and things that there's always physical evidence of, I think is really important.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of an example of what I'll be calling later, what we've defined in the campaign as gray areas of abuse, and just forms of abuse that are harder for teens and many times adults to define as right or wrong, or to recognize it in even other relationships of their friends or their family members.
or to even recognize it in their own as a
mm-hmm.
peer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good clarification. Thank you, Sarah. Just to interject briefly, if you have a question and you would like to unmute your phone line, you can do so by pressing the number 1 on your telephone. That will get you into the operator keypad and operator queue, and she will let us know when there are questions. Also, just a reminder, feel free to email me if you would like to send in a question that way. My email address is Liz, L-I-Z, at Praxis, P-R-A-X-I-S, international.org. So we would love to hear from you. We'll take just a couple more minutes, I think, and see if there are any questions from the audience. Nothing so far. So, Sarah and Annie, why don't we go back to your presentation, and then we'll stop again in 15 or 20 minutes or so. And at that point, we'll check in with the listeners and see if there's questions on hand.
That sounds great.
Thank you.
So for everyone on the call, we're at slide 18 right now. And just before I jump in, I also just want to talk about the Family Violence Prevention Fund's history in creating public education campaigns. So That's Not Cool is our current public education initiative to prevent teen dating abuse. But for over 20 years, we've been working to create public service announcements and public education campaigns to raise awareness of and prevent domestic violence and relationship abuse. It started in the 1990s with the There's No Excuse campaign, which some of you may be familiar with. And then another more recent campaign of ours is our Coaching Boys into Men program, which started as a media campaign and has since grown into a sports-based curriculum. So moving on to slide 19, That's Not Cool is our latest initiative. It launched in January of 2009 after about a year and a half of development and planning and research. It's funded by the Department of Justice Office on Violence Against Women, and we created the campaign in partnership with the Advertising Council. And the Advertising Council, they're national experts on public service announcement, development, and dissemination. They create campaigns about, for instance, autism and obesity, childhood obesity. Those are some of our more recent campaigns. You probably see their TV ads and billboards. So we work closely with them. And, you know, since our launch in January 2009, we're really pleased with how the campaign has been received by teens and also how it's been used by our partners in violence prevention. We have a combination of both online and offline organizing strategies, which I'll be walking you through here. But before we kind of get into that, I want to talk to you about some of the research we did when developing this campaign. So if you look at slide 20 here, I have kind of a chart that outlines some of this initial teen qualitative focus groups that we held. When we were first starting, we knew that in order to prevent teen dating violence, our campaign and all of our strategies need to be informed by teens. And none of us are teens, and so we knew we needed to go straight to our target audience to find out what their attitudes were about relationships and abuse and violence. And so we used two kind of unique techniques of gathering data. One of them was blogging, where we had teens blog for a week with us about the issue, and we asked them about their lives and about their relationships and what was important to them. And then we also held friendship-based focus groups across the country, where we identified one host teen who then invited a group of friends over to his or her house. And we actually hung out in the living room with this host teen and his or her friends and ended up having really great intimate conversations with them about language they used to talk about relationships and what they're thinking about. This research was done to help us develop our strategy and learn about teens' vocabulary and about their opinions on relationships and abuse. And so moving on to slide 21, some of our key findings were that friendships are really important, that girls especially are constantly giving each other advice in their relationships and on anything romantic. And, you know, we also confirmed some of our thoughts going in that teen relationships these days are really different from older generations and that they're a lot harder to define. Some teens we talked to did talk about official boyfriends and girlfriends, but we also learned that a lot of these relationships, although intimate, can be very casual and that there aren't really clean-cut terms to define them. And so oftentimes teens will be hanging out or hooking up or they'll have friends with benefits. They'll start out in a group of friends and then maybe, you know, two people will kind of go off to the side at the mall and hook up for a while and then they're just back in the group. So it's very fluid. It's harder to define. Moving on to slide 22, we also learned a lot about teen use of technology. We surveyed national data on, you know, how many kids had cell phones and what they were doing online, but it was really great to have teens talking about the experience themselves. And one of the key things we learned was that the cell phone is king and that, you know, teens told us that literally getting their phone taken away from them would be like getting an arm chopped off. They're dependent on it 24/7. They use it all the time to talk with their friends, which, as I'm sure you understand, is both positive and negative. We learned that teens are not on email, but they do prefer chatting online and texting. It's often easier if they're starting to get to know somebody and they're nervous or apprehensive. And frankly, they told us it was just more convenient. It was quicker. But for all this hype about digital relationships and digital forms of communication, it was also really clear during our research that the old-fashioned in-person conversations and relationships at school and after school are really important. So moving on to slide 23, our main takeaway from this research was that our greatest opportunity for this campaign was to focus on digital gray areas. And by digital gray areas, just for some background here, teens told us that they knew that physical violence was clearly wrong, that that was more of a black and white issue for them. We know, of course, that many teens are still victims of physical violence, but they had a much stronger understanding of what was right and what was wrong in that situation. But when we started talking about emotional or verbal infractions, particularly those that happen online or by cell phone, teens were totally unclear about what was right and what was wrong and had a really hard time defining those infractions. So given the examples that teens told us in our focus groups with them, we decided to focus on the three examples you see outlined on this slide here. The first one is unwanted and or repeated calls or text messages, both getting to the quantity and the content of those messages. The second one is privacy violations, such as breaking into a cell phone log or spying on someone's social networking account. And the third one was the pressure to send nude or revealing or embarrassing pictures or videos. So those are the three main themes that That's Not Cool focuses on, which you'll see throughout the campaign. Just a little bit more background on slide 24, getting back to defining what digital gray areas are. You know, these infractions, these digital gray infractions are even harder to define for teens, not only because it's not physical, but also because it's happening online. And the technology creates what we call an invisible wall, and that there's this separation that makes actions and words seem more removed and less of a big deal. And so moving on to slide 25, we often hear about teens dismissing the importance of what happened, that, oh, it only happened online, it's not a big deal. We also hear a lot about social sensitivity. I hear from teens every day that they're worried about scaring away their first boyfriend or girlfriend. They don't want to make a big deal about just a text message, and they really want to be liked and do the right thing in this first relationship. We also heard a lot from teens about how their parents just don't understand and how they were really afraid that if they did confide in their parents or an adult about something that they were uncomfortable with, that they might get their computer privileges taken away, or they might get their cell phone taken away, or their text messages limited. And because, as I was saying earlier, the cell phone is king and they're totally dependent on this technology, that's a very real threat for them. So moving on to slide 26, I have some copy here that's really the guiding spirit of the campaign. And so from talking to teens, we wanted to tell them, draw your digital line. It's yours to determine, you and your friends, you and your boyfriend or girlfriend, you and your weekly hookup, you and your generation. Even if it's online, it can still be abusive, and it should never be controlling. On slide 27, I have kind of an outline of who our target audience is, which was also a purpose of our focus group research. We wanted to define who the campaign was meaning to reach, and we landed on 13 to 15-year-olds, but it's really less of an age and more of a stage in teen relationships. And what we found was that at the 13 to 15-year-old age, many teens were just beginning to experience their first intimate relationships, and they were defining their own opinions about what was okay in relationships, what wasn't okay, what they wanted out of their relationship. And so that's the most that's what we've identified as the most opportune period for us to go in. And please just know, though, that That's Not Cool has resonated very well with younger teens, 11 and 12-year-olds, for instance, and also older teens, even sometimes in college. So on slide 28, I have our campaign objective. And just so we're clear, That's Not Cool uses examples of control, pressure, and abuse that occur in the digital world to help teens draw their own line on what's okay or not okay in their intimate relationships. And you'll see, you know, in this objective and in the guiding spirit on the earlier slide, that the spirit of the campaign is really to have the teen define what's okay or not. And we're providing them the tools and guiding them, but the spirit of the campaign is that it's very much teen-created and owned by teens, and it's a safe space for them to learn about and talk about these issues. So I have a chart here on slide 29. That's Not Cool at a glance. And, you know, these different spokes coming out of the That's Not Cool logo will make more sense after we kind of go through them. The main part of the campaign is our website. It's the hub. We also have some very strong advertising elements that we developed with the Advertising Council to drive teens to the website. So we'll be glancing through some of those. And then, as I've mentioned, we have youth organizing strategies, both in person and online, and that's kind of captured in those demonstration and participation spokes, where we go out to teens, and we're also inviting teens to come to us and be part of our community. And then lastly, which we'll be going through a little bit later, is our Campaign Tools website, which is a resource really for programs like you to use the That's Not Cool tools in your own community. So the next few slides are literally snapshots from our website, and I really encourage you to go and explore thatsnotcool.com on your own if you haven't already. Slide 30 has a snapshot of our introduction video on the site. You see some sock puppets here eating French fries. Those are some of our most popular characters on the site. We have a series of videos called Two-Sided Stories, and we use sock puppets and fruits and other animated elements to tell the teen perspective on digital dating abuse issues. They're very entertaining. They're our most popular tool on the website. And so I have a little bit of language on that on slide 31 also. On slide 31 in the upper right-hand corner, I also have a snapshot of one of our guest videos. It was created by three girls from Hollywood who created a rap video on digital privacy. And that's also very popular. Just wanted to highlight it there so that when you're browsing through the site, you take a few minutes to watch that one. It's very fun. Moving on, That's Not Cool also has 40 different call-out cards, which are e-cards that users can send to friends to raise awareness about digital dating abuse issues. You'll see a close-up on the next slide. These are some of the most popular call-out cards that we've also made into stickers, and the digital version of these cards can be shared by email and on Facebook or MySpace also, and so they've been a popular and humorous viral tool for raising awareness. On slide 34, I just gave you a snapshot of our Talk It Out online forum. And you can see a conversation thread here. It's a pretty vibrant area of our site. We respond to every single user who writes to us depicting a situation that might be abusive or explicitly asking us a question, even if it's something like, how should I ask this girl out to the prom? We get a very wide range of questions, most of them about the pressure to send a nude picture and what we call textual harassment, over texting and the receiving controlling messages. And so we're often responding to teens on those issues, but sometimes we're just talking to teens about whatever they want to talk about also. Talk It Out, every single Tuesday we have Talk It Out Tuesdays where we feature a question from a user. It's posted anonymously, and users submit questions to us through the Submit Something button, which you can see in the upper right-hand corner of the website. And so that comes directly to me and my colleagues, and we choose a post every week to share with the rest of the users on the website and ask users to jump in and help give advice. Slide 35, I just wanted to call attention to our custom video games, Nudie Calls and Text Invaders. These video games were actually first developed for in-person demonstrations that we held at the Vans Warped Tour, which is the largest rock festival in the country. In 2009, we went on the Vans Warped Tour, went to 13 different sites, and brought these video games to hundreds of thousands of teens that we met there. And they were so popular that we adapted them for our website. And so they're now online. And this is, you'll be hearing later, too, a popular tool that you can use in your own work. The next slide, slide 36, is our Need Help tab, which is a critical part of the campaign. Although That's Not Cool is prevention-based, we know that it's really important to make sure that teens can connect with resources if they need help. And so we developed a partnership with the National Dating Abuse Helpline, and we have a direct link from our website to their chat function. And teens can, once they connect with the National Helpline, they can also get referred to a local brick-and-mortar agency. The next few slides go over some of our teen organizing strategies. And so on slide 37, I wanted to highlight some of our online work that is off of the website, so our use of Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. We're very proud of this strategy. It started off as an experiment, and it's really just taken a life of its own. Our Facebook page is a very active community, and we have over 54,000 fans. I encourage you to fan us. Most of our fans are 13 to 24, I think, or 13 to 18. I don't quite remember how Facebook breaks it out, but we're proud that we do have a teen fan base there, and they write to us daily. We post polls and questions about digital dating abuse, and sometimes just about pop culture, too. We have a Twitter account, which you see a little clip of there. And then I included some images here of YouTube videos that teens have created for us about the That's Not Cool campaign. And the you'll see in the top, there's a picture of fruit kind of mimicking the two-sided story fruit video that we actually host on our website. And that was actually created in a health class. The teacher loved the campaign and had her students create videos. And so this was one of the videos that I believe one was the favorite of the students in the class. And then on slide 38, I just have some images from our really exciting in-person organizing strategies with teens. And Annie's going to be talking a little bit more about this, but you'll see we have That's Not Cool t-shirts, and there's a screenshot of girls playing our video games. It's just been really great to go out and meet teens where they are. We've gone to rock festivals, as I've said. We've also gone to skate parks and malls and street fairs. We really tried to be places where teens are. Please excuse slide 39. That's a duplicate of the earlier one. I'm sorry I didn't catch that. But, you know, just to kind of like recap on slide 40, I wanted to share with you some of our website analytics so that you kind of get a sense of the breadth of the campaign. But we're also tracking the campaign and assessing it constantly using other methods, too. After we launched in 2009, we went back to teens and did focus groups. We have been tracking the online buzz about the campaign and about this issue. And we're also, through tracking studies, we're measuring the impact that this work has on teens' attitudes and behaviors. And so, you know, we welcome you to stay part of the community so that we can keep you updated on what we're learning, and so that can help inform your work. And we're constantly tweaking the campaign to make sure that we're meeting the needs of our audience. And so I'll stop there. Sorry, I've been talking a long time. you know, I'm going to be talking about ways, next we're going to be talking about ways to bring this to your community. But if you have any questions about the campaign, about the website or the tools, now would be a great time for that.
Thank you, Sarah. So again, if you have a question that you'd like to share with the group, press the number 1 on your telephone to get into the operator queue. The operator will announce you, and you can ask your question or make your comment. You can also email me. Send your question and comments to liz@praxisinternational.org. So, Sarah, this is, while we wait for questions, I just wanted to say it's really, really impressive what the Family Violence Prevention Fund has done to develop this campaign, and I just am very impressed by how much kids seem to really be responding to it.
Thank you, Liz. You know, one of the key things I think that we've been really lucky to take advantage of through That's Not Cool are partnerships with cutting-edge digital media firms and access to teens who are telling us what they think is cool and not cool. You know, all the look and feel of everything and the language we use, even the title of the campaign, That's Not Cool, was informed by teens. They told us, oh, I say that all the time, you know. And so we have really developed this with our target audience in mind, and you know, fortunately have been able to develop things like video games and you know, have cool looking tools to take advantage of.
Yeah. And Sarah, this is Annie. I think something that everyone can take away from the That's Not Cool campaign, and you've mentioned it a lot, but is that teen involvement, because this campaign really, really does resonate with teens of all ages, from 11, 12 years old, like you said, all the way through college. And it's amazing how, and I'll talk about this more later, but how well teens respond to the materials that you all provide. And also programs can learn a lot from your experience. And I think, you know, like I look at the Facebook page a lot, That's Not Cool Facebook page, to see what teens are responding to, so I can put similar things up on my own Facebook page to get response on ours. So it's been really helpful.
That's great. And, you know, and on the flip side of that is that, you know, our partnership with the Idaho Coalition and with teachers and other advocates on the ground doing this work has been really important, because we're constantly informed about how this is working in the classroom or what teens are saying at the after-school center. And that we take that feedback very seriously, and it is constantly informing what we do.
Yeah, that's fabulous. I had an experience just this week with my 13-year-old son where I had given him a book from the library that seemed like it was this, you know, kind of hip, happening to teen book. And so I passed it on to him, and he didn't get past the first introduction, I think, and said, he just said he wasn't interested in it because it was just, like, so outdated. And I looked at the copyright, and it was from 4 years ago. And so he wanted to have nothing to do with it. And so those screenshots of the website are fabulous, and I can understand that it would be really compelling to a teenager, to many, many teenagers, to be a part of the campaign. And so that makes a huge difference right there. That's the thing that opens the door. So we have a caller on the line, I understand. Carrie?
Yes, that caller is Advocates Crisis Support Services. Your line is open.
Thank you. And actually, this is Carol with Advocates. I just want to make a comment on something that I have put together with my teen program. We're called SAFE, Stopping Abuse Forever. And something that we have come upon and decided to do, thanks to your website, thatsnotcool.com, has just really, really enticed the teens. And what we did, it's just a T-shirt, but it's a black T-shirt, and it has, you know, SAFE on the front. And then we put four different sayings from your call-out cards on the back of the T-shirt, in all different kinds of colors, and just relaying all of those different messages. And the teens are just going goo-goo over them.
I love that. I love that, Carol. You, if you could send me screenshots of those T-shirts, that would be awesome.
I would love to do that. And I tell you, we worked with a guy here in Craig. He owns Chaos Inc. is what it's called. And he had so much fun doing it and creating, you know, those different messages in his own way, but he had just the best time, and the T-shirts are just fabulous, thanks to your call-out cards.
Great. No, I'm really glad to hear that. The T-shirts have been a really great giveaway for us, and I know that, you know, Annie's given them away, and a few other sites that we've worked with have also customized their own T-shirts to feature, you know, their local logo on the front, and then That's Not Cool in the back or something like that. And so there's a lot of opportunities to get creative. I'm glad that you guys took that on.
Yes, yes, so are we. Thank you.
Great, thank you for that, Carol. Are there any other questions or comments at this time?
At this time, there's nobody in the queue.
Okay, terrific, that's helpful. Carrie, thank you. Again, just a reminder, you can feel free to email me at any point during the call. But let's go back. Annie, I think you said you were going to do the next section of slides.
I think I actually have a few just before Annie jumps in, Liz.
Okay, Carrie, yeah, let's
and
go
actually,
with that.
Carol's comment is a perfect segue, so thank you for that. So we're going to be moving into talking about That's Not Cool in your community and how you can take it on. And, you know, I really want to make clear that partnering with programs such as yours is really a priority of our campaign. We recognize that that's going to be key to the sustainability of That's Not Cool. And it also provides a really unique opportunity for teens who are on the website, are seeing the advertisement either online or, you know, on TV, and then it's followed up with what they're doing every day in their community. And that combination of prevention is, we think, really key. So going to slide 43, I have an outline here of our Campaign Tools website. There's a screenshot image of the Campaign Tools website on the following slide. This is an outline of what the Campaign Tools website is. We offer all of the marketing materials, the research highlights, the video files, the call-out card files, our poster files, all that information is available for immediate and free download from the Campaign Tools website. We're very flexible with how the material gets used. You know, we really want you to take it on in a way that resonates the best with your community. And so I encourage you to please visit the Campaign Tools website. If you go to the normal That's Not Cool website, there's a link at the very bottom of the page to get to the tools. You can just enter in this URL. You'll need to create an account, which is very simple. You just set up your own email and password, and then you'll have free access to everything. So I'm going to walk through some of the main tools from the Campaign Tools website, and Annie's going to follow up on how she's actually used and implemented those. But so on slide 45, I have some information here about our different awareness building advertisement tools. And the That's Not Cool campaign includes a TV ad called Textual Harassment, which features a cell phone character that just won't leave this girl alone. And so you see a screenshot of that image there. It's the TV ad is actually very popular with teens. They think it's really funny, and so we think the cell phone character is just great. We also have two radio spots, Excuses, and Angry Robot. And so with these advertising tools, you could approach your local media station, talk about the work that you're doing in your community, the resources that are available, and encourage them to air the radio spot on donated media space. We also have some poster files available on the Campaign Tools website, and I just have some small screenshot images there. The full art files are available for you to download. You can take those to your local printer, print them off whatever size you want, and post them up in storefronts and schools and malls, wherever you're able to get donated media space. The next slide, 46, I wanted to highlight one of our youth organizing strategies, which was developing interruptive stunts and some scripts for these interruptive stunts. And so just to back up first, an interruptive stunt, we worked with some young actors in the New York and LA area, and we developed three scripts addressing the invasion of privacy, the pressure to send nude pictures, and controlling behavior and controlling text messages. And we had these actors act out the script, which we carefully crafted. They acted it out in areas with a large teen audience. So in a mall, outside of a movie, right before, you know, a popular teen movie was about to play, or at a street fair or at the beach. And there was a whole team of people who kind of gathered around and watched the teen audience watching the performers. And so after about 15 seconds of a bit of an argument about invasion of privacy, for instance, then the teens would reveal their That's Not Cool t-shirts they were wearing, give out giveaways, and follow up with the teen audience about the campaign and about the issue. And so this was an untraditional marketing tool for us. It was really popular. The teens who met us were, saying, oh my gosh, this is so cool. I was totally punked. I didn't realize that it was a stunt. I thought it was real. And, this is something my friend is going through. So these scripts are available on the Campaign Tools website if you go to the Youth Organizing tab. And the scripts have been used in really interesting ways. They've been adapted for school assemblies where students will act out the scripts in a very structured, controlled environment, and then they'll be used as a conversation tool to talk about what's okay, what's not okay in relationships, and what you can do to intervene or instead. They've also been taken on by theater groups who like the acting part of it and performed in their own community also. So that's one tool that I just wanted to raise awareness of. The next slide, slide 47, I have some images of some flyers here. And we printed these out on postcard size flyers, and they have some digital messages on here about the issue and prompt the teens to go to the that'snotcool.com website. And, you know, one example of how these were used, one of our partners in Indianapolis had a youth theater performance where they passed out these flyers. The theater performance was dealing with digital dating abuse issues. They passed out these flyers and educational information, and then on the back of them, they actually printed their local information and contact information. So these are very adaptable, and you can mix that's not cool with what you're already doing. And so the next slide, 48, I just wanted to highlight that, you know, many local groups have already taken That's Not Cool on, and there's an image of a theater group practicing at the top of the page, our cell phone costume being worn by a teen, and then there's an image here of a That's Not Cool booth, which, you know, this booth is really easy to create with the tools the campaign offers. Because the posters and the stickers and the T-shirts are really colorful, the tables are really popular at teen conferences. And so this actually was from an FCC LA conference in St. Louis. So with that, I'll hand it over to Annie.
Great. Thanks, Sarah. So Sarah did, obviously, a really good overview of the materials that are available on the That's Not Cool website, on the tools website. I'm going to go through and tell you how we have incorporated the That's Not Cool campaign into our two existing teen campaigns in the Start Strong Idaho and the Center for Healthy Teen Relationships, and how we've used the That's Not Cool materials to expand and really make our programs better. The first thing that we do is we use all of the That's Not Cool stickers and posters. I've incorporated those into our existing lessons on digital technology and relationships and on building healthy teen relationships. And so one example of how we have done this, we have a curriculum, and I've incorporated the stickers, and I hand those stickers out. Another thing that we've done, a way to distribute the posters, is I presented that curriculum on digital technology at the Idaho Drug Free Youth Leadership Camp, which is kind of a statewide organization of teen leaders, basically. And we discussed how unhealthy relationships were related to teens using drugs and alcohol. And so we distributed the posters there that discuss, and actually one of them was a sample that Sarah provided, but we distributed those posters and stickers and had those teens hand them out in their school and post the posters. And that was a really good way of getting awareness about teen dating abuse and digital abuse out in the schools all year round, because often when those posters go up, they don't come down. And I'll talk about some of the campaign posters that we have created later, but I can tell you that when we have put posters up in schools or asked schools to put posters up, they almost always stay up until we get new posters in their place. So that's a really good way to maintain a presence in a school and kind of keep the topic of digital abuse and its involvement with teen dating abuse on the front burner. We've also used the radio and TV PSAs. Sarah discussed the cell phone harassment PSA with a walkie-talkie character. That public service announcement is very popular. Some of you may have seen it in your communities. I show it during teen presentations, but I'm also really, really, the PSA is such high quality, and Family Violence Prevention Fund, That's Not Cool, and the Ad Council did such an amazing job on it that TV stations in my area have been playing it on and off for probably about the last year. And I was so excited when I was on New Year's Day, I emailed Sarah at about 12:30 a.m. because on the first commercial break after the ball coming down, that PSA was shown on TV. So it got lots and lots of advertisement here.
Good way to ring in the new year.
I know. I was so excited. It was just, I made everyone stop what they were doing and watch it. So it was very, just very cool. TV stations like that ad because it is really good quality. And as far as the radio PSAs, we have had absolutely no problem getting those on the air. We've played them. I approached the radio station back in October. We've played both the Angry Robot and the Excuses PSA on and off through, in fact, we're doing it, we have two broadcasting groups playing them right now here in the Boise area. And again, really popular, especially with those radio stations that target the kind of 13 to 24-year-old age group. Another thing we did was we incorporated the idea of, we started with the idea of abusing text messaging, but then based on the That's Not Cool campaign, we wanted to do some positive messages. And we created an event, and I'll explain that event in a second, but it had eight booths, and one of the booths was the That's Not Cool text message booth. And instead of having teens identify messages that they wouldn't like, we actually had them create text messages that they would, that are nice text messages that they'd want someone to send to them. And so you can see pictures there of the kids. Our partner at that campaign was St. Luke's Children's Hospital, so they ran the booth. But you can see the kids there, they're writing text messages that they would want to get from someone, or nice text messages. And at that booth, we had the That's Not Cool stickers. We also had the walkie-talkie cell phone costume there, and we had someone in it walking around the campaign to discuss digital dating abuse and helping teens that were at the campaign draw their own digital line. The next slide, slide 51, and this kind of goes into maintaining the movement throughout the year, but we make sure that we tie into popular teen things. And so, as Sarah mentioned, you want to be where the kids are, if that's a skate park or a movie or wherever they are. And last year, last June, where kids happened to be was at the premiere of Eclipse. And so we created an entire campaign around the premiere of Eclipse. We had a writing contest, and then we had an event at the premiere, the opening of Eclipse, and we had a huge turnout. But one of the things you can see in that picture is that we had the walkie-talkie cell phone costume there. Now, that's something that we actually paid for Family Violence Prevention Fund to ship up to us, but that's something that kids in your community can create on their own, and it's really a great way to get kids talking about digital technology, because if someone's walking around in a cell phone costume, everyone stops and asks, why are you dressed up like a cell phone? And then you can have your teen leaders and they're discussing why they are dressed in a cell phone and what they're out to promote. And that, of course, is healthy teen relationships. Another way that we've used the materials from That's Not Cool is we've included them. Every year we run a student council contest in February. We've included That's Not Cool contest in our mailing, or That's Not Cool materials in our mailings for this contest. So we actually mail out a box of kind of a goodie box to every secondary school in the state. And in the past 2 years, that box has included statistics on digital dating abuse, which we've gotten from That's Not Cool, for kids to use on their morning announcements. We actually copied off the two-sided stories and the digital privacy video from the That's Not Cool website, and we included those. And those have been very popular because a lot of schools have the ability to play video during their morning announcements, and so those are being shown in the morning. And then we had ideas for school-based activities that involved That's Not Cool materials, or involved things like creating their own call-out cards or creating a shirt around the proper improper use of digital technology, that type of thing. Another way that we have built That's Not Cool into our program is a policy piece, and we are really trying to create awareness on a community level about teen dating abuse to get policies into our schools on addressing teen dating violence, including digital abuse. In February of last year, we held the policy roundtable on prevention of digital dating abuse and sexting, and out of that roundtable, we came up with a policy white paper on how to deal with digital dating abuse and sexting in schools. As you can imagine, this was an incredibly popular event. It was attended by state legislators, PTO, PTA leaders, school leaders, including principals, health teachers, counselors, and other community members from around the state. And our final policy included using the That's Not Cool materials in schools to raise awareness about digital dating abuse and help encourage kids draw their digital line because they are so well received by kids. And why recreate the wheel if we already have the materials that we can use and that we know are effective to reach out to teens and start discussion? So next, I want to talk about sustaining teen dating violence awareness all year long in rural communities. I know that most of you are from very rural communities, and I am too. Our projects are statewide projects, and a lot of those counties have very, very few people in them. During the wintertime, we are sometimes communities are isolated from other communities because of closed roads, because of snowing. Sometimes February doesn't work for us to do teen dating violence awareness because there's lots of snow days at school. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how to do activities outside of February. And the first and I think most important activity is to get the teens involved. And I know that there are a couple of teen leaders on the phone today. I think Jessica over in Eugene is on the phone. But getting those teens involved, this is an issue that they care about. And it's so important for them to be involved and for this really to be a teen-led project. In Idaho, we have two teen councils, one for each of our programs. The teen council members are responsible for reviewing materials we create, giving presentations in their communities, especially to younger youth, and doing youth group work throughout the year. We have an application process that we've used, and most of our teens on our council have been very involved in their communities. Not necessarily their school, but they can be involved in their communities in other ways besides being involved in things in school. But we use them so much to make sure that our materials, again, resonate with teens. Everything that goes out of our office is reviewed by this group of teens, and we take their feedback very, very seriously. In fact, at one point last year, we created a bookmark on teens and responsible use of cell phones, which I believe is still available on the That's Not Cool Tools website. Is that right, Sarah?
Yes, it is, under youth organizing.
Yes, so that is available. It's a bookmark. It's very handy. Libraries love it. But our original draft of that version went out to the teens, and we got told that we had too much parent ammo. Teens wouldn't take it home because parents would use it against them. And so we scrapped it, and we completely changed the wording, all the wording on our materials, the look, the pictures are all approved by our teen kids or our teens involved. And the reason that's so important is because then we know that they use the materials. So those teens that we have involved are giving out our materials. They're using our curriculums because they like it and they know that it works in their communities. Some examples of things that teens have done that have been incredibly creative that I would never think of doing have been one example was a man night. And the man night was held in a very small community. And they served manwiches and they discussed hunting, but they also had someone come up from our program and discuss gender norms and violence against women. And for a community of probably 200 people, we had about 20 fathers and sons come to this, 20 fathers plus their sons come to this. So that was a humongous turnout, and it was so cool. And it was something that worked in that community that probably wouldn't work in some other communities. But the teens in your communities can figure out things that will work there. We had someone else, another teen, put on a fashion show that it was in Sun Valley, a very arty community. And the fashion show teens made all of the clothes from stuff that they got at a consignment store. And it went from showing someone in an abusive relationship to someone being freed from that abusive relationship. One teen student council group created a family feud game, and it was amazing, and it was all about healthy relationships. And so it was like they asked questions like, what are the top 10 things you can do that are on a date, that are good safe activities for a date? And they polled the students in their school, and they held this game during an assembly, and it was really, really, really fun for the kids. And then we've had teens who have served on their newspaper boards. And in very small communities, a lot of times the newspapers want to write about this issue. And they've let the teens write newspaper articles. They've interviewed the teens. And we just got some amazing publicity in small communities throughout the year on our teens that have been involved in this project. The next thing you can do is really build collaborations with other organizations. And I'm sure that all of you have good working relationships with organizations in your communities, but examples of organizations you'd want to reach out to kind of bolster this momentum are schools, because obviously most of your kids are going to be attending school. Schools are helpful to get in to do presentations on healthy relationships and teen dating violence. They're also very helpful to work with and create policy change. Like I said, here we are really trying to get a policy in the school about teen dating violence, both responding to teen dating violence and preventing it. And they're also very helpful to reach parents, either through mailings, through the PTO, PTA, and getting parents involved in the topic. Victim service organizations are also very important, and I think most of you on the phone are probably from victim service organizations, but we want to make sure that there are people there who can provide services if victims are identified, so obviously you're important there. You're also the community connection. You generally have really good connections with people in your community, and that's so, so important to find leaders in your community and have the connections with them so this momentum keeps going. And then finally, organizations serving youth are so important. They can create or they can incorporate teen dating violence awareness projects into their existing programs. And a really good example of this here is we have partnerships with the YMCA, with the Boys and Girls Club, and with the Girl Scouts. The YMCA has incorporated work on healthy teen relationships into their youth leader club that meets once a week, and they've done projects within the YMCA for all teens going to the YMCA about healthy relationships. The Boys and Girls Club has recently implemented a 12-week after school or 12-session after school program for all of the teens attending their program. It was a program that we recommended. It was through the 4th R. And it's all about relationship skills and building relationship skills. And so that's obviously going to – that's a three-month program. So all the kids going there are getting skill-building activities for 3 months on relationships, which is so important. The last thing I'm going to mention about those organizations is the Girl Scouts. And we have worked with the Girl Scouts. They have been very receptive to this. It really, teen dating violence and prevention of teen dating violence really fits into their mission statement. The Girl Scouts in our area have actually created a healthy relationship badge. We've worked with them to create a badge and a whole track, a healthy relationship track. They've also run book clubs. We've read the book Dreamland by Sarah Dresden, I believe her name is, and we've held a book club online, and that discusses an abusive relationship, and so that is very handy to reach out to girls who maybe aren't attending regular meetings, but they can do something online. We also have had contests throughout the year, and we always tie those into Teen Dating and Violence Awareness Month, so the most recent contest we had was a poetry contest, and it was a 75-word maximum poetry contest. And that was, we held that in November, and winners were notified earlier in the year, but we're releasing the books of all the winning poems here in February. In fact, we're getting ready. We are going to have a poetry slam in Boise tomorrow night, and there are smaller poetry slams throughout the state for winners of this contest. And we have professional slam poets there, but we also have the winning teens come and read their poems in front of their groups of friends and family. And the poems are all about healthy relationships or abusive relationships. One of the amazing things that has come out of this contest is we've heard kind of countless stories about how teens thinking about relationships has really affected them. We had one girl, the girls who entered our contest had dropped out of school, and when she found out that she won this contest, she actually went back to school. So kind of an unintended consequence, but this work that we're doing really has a big effect on the teens involved. And then finally, we do mailings throughout the year to schools and youth groups, just letting them know that we're here discussing teen dating violence, providing them samples of any materials we have or notification of any contests we have. I mentioned earlier the posters that we have created. You can see those on our website, which is www.lovewhatsreal.com. And we have another website, startstrongidaho.com. Those posters have been an incredible way to keep awareness about teen dating violence going in schools and youth groups throughout the year. Because like I said, once they're up, and they don't normally come down. I go to schools all the time, and I see our posters up, and that is really a good way to get teens to visit your website or just kind of discuss the issue. And we have those materials available to programs free of charge. Just visit our website, and you can order them from there. And that's kind of my sample activities that I have. If there are any questions for me, please feel free to ask Liz or the operator. I'll be happy to answer any questions about ways to sustain that teen dating violence awareness movement.
Thank you, Annie. Those ideas were all fabulous. My gosh, you guys have been busy.
Yes, very busy.
It's amazing. That's fabulous. But we do still have about 15 minutes or so left on this conference, and so we have plenty of time for questions and comments. We'd love to hear from other programs who have been involved with That's Not Cool, the campaign. They're familiar with it. They have utilized it in various ways in your community. We'd love to have you chime in. Carol, it's great to know that you have used the campaign. If you have other specific ideas or questions, let's hear from you. You can get into the operator queue by pressing star 1 on your telephone, and the operator will let us know when there are questions. I wondered, Annie, while we wait to see if people have other things to respond to, I love the idea that the coalition has started to work so collaboratively with the youth organizations like the YMCA and the Boys and Girls Clubs and the Girl Scouts, and that you're doing so in a variety of formats. You said there's even some online work for teens that maybe can't make it to meetings or have some sort of difficulty in access. And so I wondered, are these things kind of an offshoot to the work that you have done, like through That's Not Cool, or has it all just kind of evolved simultaneously? Or
the partnerships were originally formed when we began our teen work and have expanded since then, especially with our Start Strong Idaho project, because it was reaching a younger age group, so we needed to find places where those younger teens were going. And the work has just, we have youth groups reaching out to us now all the time because they know who we are and they know the program that we put on, and it's such an important topic to a lot of communities and really fits with youth organizations' mission statements a lot of the time. And so it's really just continually expanding. We are starting to work with 4-H and the FAA a lot. We have FCCLA, CLA advisors contact us all the time to do projects on teen dating violence in their communities. And then another kind of, it's not a group per se, but another type of organization that we've really started tying into, which really helps in small rural communities that don't have a YMCA or don't have a Boys and Girls Club, are the faith-based organizations, because most churches have a youth group, and this is a topic that youth group can spend some time on. So,
right.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
And Liz, if I can jump in too,
yeah.
A lot of, what Annie and her colleagues took on with That's Not Cool was almost like a comprehensive adaptation and implementation of the campaign in their community. And I think that her work is like a really great example of how That's Not Cool can be scaled up in local communities.
Mm-hmm.
But the way we've designed the campaign tools website is really keeping in mind that It may, the most opportune moments are often integrating that SNAP goal into what is already going on and what is already existing, just because we're all really aware of limited resources, whether that's money or time or staff, all of that, especially in our field of work. So, you know, you have the opportunity to really take the pieces that are the most relevant, that are the easiest, and to incorporate that into what you're already doing.
That's exactly right, Sarah. That's I forgot to mention that, but I think when we have formed our collaborations with other organizations, one of the first things I do is meet with that organization, see what programs they already have going, and see what, because I don't want to make more work for a program. I want our materials to be naturally integrated into what they're already doing. And so if only a little piece of the work is going to fit into their program, that's what we're going to do. So, yeah, taking into account resources and existing workloads is really important when doing this work.
Yeah, those are excellent points. Again, we are anxious for your questions and comments. Press the number 1 on your telephone if you'd like to get into the operator queue. We'd love to hear what you have to say. And I should have also referenced earlier in the call on the website, on the Praxis website, where you found the PowerPoint for this session today. Just below it, there are links to the websites that Annie referenced, lovewhatsreal.com and Starting Strong Idaho, and you will see the actual examples of what Annie was referencing in terms of the posters that they have available. There's like 9 or 12 of them. Is that right, Annie?
There's 9 posters, yeah.
There's 9. And they're, you know, ready-made. They're free of charge. It's really an excellent opportunity to be able to just, you know, capture the energy of what they have already done and kind of utilize it and get the attention of teenagers in your local communities by posting those things up in schools and whatnot. So feel free to go to those links to find further examples and to place an order. So that is just amazing, Annie. I'm so glad that you're on the call and and you have all these ideas. It's fabulous.
And the other thing I wanted to mention, I talked about the digital technology curriculum, which has been incredibly popular with schools recently. That is available on the That's Not Cool Tools website.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. We actually have a section on the Campaign Tools website right now that says That's Not Cool February 2011. And we developed resources specifically for Teen Dating Violence Prevention Month. Annie's bookmark and this digital curriculum are in there. But I also encourage you to explore the other tabs on the website because those February ideas relate to a lot of the other things that are available in the other tabs.
That's great. Well, we have a quiet bunch on the line today. Really, we'd love to hear from you.
Well, that's no problem. I know this is a lot of information at once, and so you know one way that Annie and I have worked with new partners in the past is, you know, again talking about what their interests are, what their goals are, and what the opportunities are in their local communities to bring in some of this teen dating violence prevention work and to bring in That's Not Cool or maybe the Love What's Real posters. And so you might want to, you know, just like for some starting tips for folks on the line, you know, you might want to think about, you know, if you have access to schools or to after-school programs or to the YMCA, if there's a large event maybe happening in your region that you know a lot of teens will be attending, and if you, you know, if there is something like that and you're just not quite sure how to figure it out yet, please reach out. We can help you brainstorm. And what we're trying to do with the Campaign Tools website also is to create a community of adults in this work so that we can share key learning, identify opportunities for collaboration. And so it might turn out that, you know, there's a conference that you would love to get at, but you just don't know how you're going to make it happen, and someone else in your area might have already told us about it too. So those are the types of networking that we can help facilitate. Just send me an email, me or Annie an email. My information, both of our information is on the last slide, and we're both very accessible, friendly people, so don't hesitate to reach out.
I wanted to mention one more thing really quickly. This is Annie. You know, when we started doing this work a couple of years ago, 5 years ago now, we had a hard time getting into some schools. We had schools tell us our kids don't date. We have very conservative rural communities that they didn't need this information there because the kids didn't date or this wasn't a problem in their community. If you're butting up against that problem, just keep trying. Keep trying. We now have every school district in the state on board with us in participating in these programs. So just keep pushing because it really is an issue that needs to be addressed in school.
And Annie, you had referenced the teen council kind of that you had created for the coalition.
Yes.
And
uh-huh.
And did you access those teens through the schools?
We did it a couple ways. We accessed them through schools. Through our local programs, so through all of our member programs throughout the state, domestic violence, sexual assault service organizations, and then through youth groups, we had them advertised. So we sent applications to school counselors asking them to identify any teens they thought would be good. I have sent applications to our program trainers. So those are the trainers who do teen dating violence training throughout the state, to identify teens that they may be working with in their community. And then youth groups like, for example, the Girl Scouts sent out information on the council in their newsletter. So that went out to all Girl Scouts in Southwest Idaho. Something interesting, and this is kind of a side note, but originally we had discussed teen dating violence in our application materials, and we got very few boys applying. When we discuss building healthy teen relationships, we get a lot higher percentage of boys applying. So sometimes you need to tweak the language a little bit to make sure that you're getting kind of, that you're targeting who you need to.
That's interesting, Annie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is
it was, point. It was it way, way, I mean, it was, we got about 50% boys, you know, half and half applications from boys and girls when we use that building healthy relationships language versus the teen dating violence language where we got maybe one or two applications from boys.
Well, you know, we find that that's not cool, too, on like in the participation in our Talk It Out forum and on our Facebook page, that it does lean girl, which I think is kind of which is kind of natural and expected for our work. You know, it's just often more girl-oriented. Girls have been taught about this or talked about it before, and they're talking among their friends about it. That's what we learned in our focus groups, too. So we're constantly trying to make sure that we're boy-friendly and reaching out to boys. And, you know, I think that we have yet to see if some of our strategies are working. We recently launched the games on our sites in October, and so we think that that might help. We've seeded the games, you know, on some video game websites and just trying to meet boys where they are and have topics of conversation on our pages that definitely depict situations where boys are struggling with these issues too, and, you know, keeping the conversation really open to anyone who wants to participate or relate to it.
Annie, you must have really increased your access and interest on the part of boys to have in that one community that man night. I'm so intrigued by that.
Yeah, I mean, that was an amazing night. And, you know, that was the teens coming up with that on their own. And the fact that there were so many boys and men who came to that was amazing. And it shows that people really do care about this issue regardless of their gender. And so keeping that access open is really, really important.
Yeah, that is amazing. And so do either of you have any specific tips for rural programs that maybe have tried to approach schools to create these sort of teen connections and have been told, you know, that it's not necessary, it's not wanted, it's not whatever the case may be? Do you have any tips or strategies?
My tip that I always use is go back to the research, and what does the research say? There's a really great book called Youth Risk Behaviors, I believe, by David Wolf, and it talks about the connection between youth risk behaviors and teen dating abuse and how healthy relationships are so important in teens' lives. And the other thing you can do is get other people in the community to put a little pressure on the schools. Reach out to the PTA, the PTO, or those leaders in your community who can take this subject on and put a little pressure on the schools to recognize that it really is a problem.
You know, I'll jump in too. I think that when reaching any new partner, whether it's schools or your local media station, you know, you do need to oftentimes make the case for why this issue is important to your specific community. So the more and more that you can invest other local partners in your work and show that you have a coalition of people who care about this and are invested in it and will help support it, you know, if you can help ease any fears the schools might have about parents being concerned about talking about these issues, you know, getting the input of parents early on and explaining, making the case with them too can be really important. So I would just like encourage, you know, traditional organizing techniques and in building partnerships and relationships and highlighting the local importance of what you're trying to do. Because, you know, national statistics and the national campaign, it might serve one role when you're presenting it, but the more you can make the case for your region or your state, I think the stronger it always is.
Yeah, that's an excellent point and kind of summarizing comment. Well, unfortunately, I see we, by my clock, are at the end of our session today. And, again, there weren't really many questions to Sarah or Annie in the last hour and a half that we've been on the line. But as they said, it's not too late. You certainly are free to contact them following the contact information that they provided in their last slide of the PowerPoint. So please, I encourage you, utilize them as your resources. They are the experts. They are full of helpful information, without a doubt. So feel free to utilize them. And I just really, really wanted to thank both of you. This was so helpful, and I just love to hear all of the ideas and to see all of the work that has been developed and the ways that teenagers are really benefiting from it. I'm just so grateful to both of you for the work that you do. So thank you very much for taking some time to share it with us.
Thank you, Liz, and thanks to everyone who called in.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Just a very quick little reminder, we always rely on your feedback of these audio conference calls, and so don't hesitate to give us your comments on our evaluation that you will find the link to in the reminder notice for this session today. So please just take a couple of minutes, share your thoughts with us. And again, thank you, everybody, for your time today and all the work that you are doing on Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. Good luck to all of you, and I hope that this session has given you a lot of ideas for ways that you can utilize the energy of this month all year long. So thank you, everybody. Take good care.